In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Easier said than done, right? We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you again today about Amy Carmichael's book, A Chance to Die. I said Amy Carmichael's book. It's a book about Amy Carmichael. It was a tremendous privilege and pleasure for me to write this book, although it was a lot of hard work. But I feel such a tremendous debt to Amy Carmichael. Let me tell you what I wrote in my preface. Amy Carmichael became for me what some now call a role model. She was far more than that. She was my first spiritual mother, besides my own physical mother, that is, who was also a spiritual mother. She showed me the shape of godliness. For a time, I suppose, I thought she must have been perfect, and that was good enough for me. But as I grew up, I knew that she couldn't have been perfect, and that was better, for it meant that I might possibly walk in her footsteps. If we demand perfect models, we will have, except for the Son of Man himself, none at all. And about the title of this talk, A Chance to Die, I saw in her life that the chance to die, to be crucified with Christ, is not a morbid thing, but the very gateway to life. I was drawn slowly and fitfully. My response was fitful, but inexorably. When I think of her loyal answering of the Lord's call, "Come, follow," and the incalculable difference that it has made in my life, I felt that I owed to Amy Carmichael as great a debt as one woman can possibly owe to another. To be a Christian is to identify oneself completely and without reservation to Christ in his death and resurrection. Now, I want you to think about that. What do you think a Christian is? Is it just somebody who, by saying, "I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior," has gotten a ticket to heaven, but his Christianity, his faith, doesn't seem to make any difference at all in his life? Well, I must say that I would doubt the validity of that person's faith, because we cannot call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ without the willingness to identify ourselves completely and without reservation to Christ in his death and resurrection. Are you unwilling to die to yourself? To seize the chance to die that comes to us every day? Have you not identified with that new life that Christ gives us through his resurrection power? Are you still living the old life? Maybe you need to ask yourself, have I ever understood what it means to be a Christian? The Bible really doesn't know any other kind of Christian. To be saved means to be saved not only from a future place of damnation, but also to be delivered today from my own selfishness and sinfulness. It means to accept God's will in place of my own. That's tough, isn't it? That's tough for me. I'm sure it's tough for you. The kingdom of God instead of the kingdom of this world and of darkness. That accepting, I find, is a daily exercise, a daily saying no to myself, a chance to die. Yesterday was Sunday afternoon. I came home from church looking forward to a long, peaceful, quiet Sunday afternoon all by myself. My husband was away. I had guests coming later in the evening. but I had, quote, nothing to do, period, unquote. I love that kind of an afternoon, and Sundays I can do nothing except read or pray or walk, things that I don't have enough time to do on the other days of the week, without guilt. I can do it on Sundays without guilt. And so I was looking forward to this, and guess what? Somebody met me at the end of church and said, would you have some time that you could talk to me this afternoon? And I calculated, when are my guests arriving? Maybe 3:30 or 4. I'll get home about 12:30 or 1. I was going to eat my lunch in peace and quiet. All of that, of course, in a lightning calculation. And so I said, sure, I can talk to you this afternoon. But it meant saying no to my plans. A very small thing. But I was very thankful that God had given me that little chance to die, because I think some real life came out of that, not only for the woman that I was supposed to be helping, but for the kind of help that God, by His Holy Spirit, gave me through my having said no to myself. It was, for me, a gateway to joy. It means falling into the ground and dying. And when the seed falls into the ground and dies, it doesn't abide alone, but it brings forth fruit. Amy Carmichael lived her life in this way, a continual surrendering of herself, a radical commitment. That kind of commitment is going to cost something. I want to ask you today, does the gospel shape your life? Or is it sort of an extra, maybe a little blob of whipped cream on the top of the sundae of your life? Does the gospel give new form to the way you do things? Has there been a radical change which is noticeable to you and to your friends? Or does the gospel merely touch your life lightly here and there when you're in a pinch? Do you appropriate the principle of the cross? Or do you just nibble and sip at Christianity, Christian books, Christian magazines, Christian programs, going to church? Somebody says, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I listen to Elizabeth Elliot every day. Uh-huh. So what does that do? You know, that and a dollar is going to get you on the subway in New York. I think it's a dollar. Maybe it's $1.50 by now. But what's God going to ask you when you stand before Him? What kind of a difference will He have made in your life? Circumstances and events are His bright servants. Now, you know, I didn't see them that way when this woman said, can I have some of your time this afternoon? But I look back less than 24 hours and I say, thank you, Lord. That circumstance that I did not welcome naturally was your bright servant to bless me, to give me a gateway to joy. Well, in a biography, I can see that happening in the other person's life in a way that I can't see it in my own. I don't have that kind of perspective on my own life. Well, the book begins with a marvelous scene of Amy Carmichael stuffing her two little brothers up through the skylight and then squeezing herself out onto the steep slate roof. Glorious freedom. They stood up triumphant in the fresh wind that swept across the Irish Sea. The water was blue today, which to the girl, perhaps 7 or 8 years old, meant that it was happy. On some days it was green and angry, on others gray and anxious. Over the rooftops of the village they could see the stony beach, and far off across the water the great rock called Ailsa Craig, and two rounded hills, the Paps of Jura. Now for the rest of the adventure. Gleefully, the three children slid down the slates and paraded triumphantly around the lead gutters until they saw, gazing up at them, the astonished faces of their parents. Well, she was a daring little girl. The story goes on to describe the setting of their home close to the Irish Sea, the little village of Mill Isle, the fact that her father was the owner of a big flour mill, the discipline in their home. Pandies were what they called spankings, and a dreadful medicine called Gregory powder that she was given one time when she and her little brothers had eaten some poisonous berries on purpose just to see who would die first. Her mother administered Gregory powder. And when they were punished, either spanked or given Gregory, they had to hold out their hand without flinching and say, "Thank you, Mother." She tells about family prayers, about hiding a little mouse in her pinafore and hoping it would not squeak during family prayers. She tells of her extreme sensitivity to pain and of finding one of her brothers pinning a frog to the thorns of a monkey puzzle tree. She was frantic and raced into the house crying to tell her parents of what was happening. She thought of the suffering of that poor frog. And then she said, "Now all the frogs will go to heaven." She understood the story of the cross. We have a way to heaven because one of us, one man, was crucified. It's Amy Carmichael that wrote this little gem of a book called If. And during these talks about Amy Carmichael, I want to read to you some of the gems from her writings. I can't begin to describe the impact that these have had upon me, but let me read to you from her book, If. "If I can easily discuss the shortcomings and the sins of any, if I can speak in a casual way, even of a child's misdoings, then I know nothing of Calvary love. If I do not feel far more grieved for the Savior than for my worried self when troublesome things occur, then I know nothing of Calvary love. If I know little of his pitifulness," the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, "if I know little of his courage, of hopefulness for the truly humble and penitent, he saith unto them, 'Feed my lambs,' then I know nothing of Calvary love."
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.